all this episode is on comparing where we were, where we are, and what we want to leverage it for. So you guys can come from that mentality of making the right decisions for yourself instead of focusing on the other things. So
you can both go back and get a 9-to-5 job. Yeah. Fuck no.
As if I'm going to get, who's going to employ me? I'm the most unemployable fucking human on the world. So I'm going to sort of interview Kayla a little bit around her different experiences for you guys that have followed her, you know, for long enough. You'll understand she owned a hair salon for an extended period of time there.
Welcome to the Uncensored Podcast.
All right, guys, welcome to another episode of the Uncensored Podcast. On today's episode, we want to dive into a bit of a money conversation around the adult world. Kayla and I get a lot of questions for people that portray their kind of fears around the industry on us, and it really comes back to them being like, is the money worth what's required? And if I gave up the money and went back to something a little more normal, how do I enjoy my lifestyle based on regularity when I've had experience to this amount of money? So I'm going to sort of interview Kayla a little bit around her different experiences for you guys that have followed her, you know, for long enough. You'll understand she owned a hair salon for an extended period of time there. And when you sort of hear the comparison in some of the numbers around what was earned, now we're by no means in that mega wealthy status. I know people that earn drastically more than Kayla and I, but all this episode is on comparing where we were, where we are, and what we want to leverage it for. So you guys can come from that mentality of making the right decisions for yourself instead of focusing on the other things. So I guess without further ado, darling, let's peel it back, because what most people are going to relate to in this is the working class man and woman. So let's really break it down for people here. Before you owned the hair salon,
yeah,
how many hours did you work and how much money would you bring in post-tax? It was no laughing matter, because most people are going to probably earn something similar, but this is to open their eyes in regards to it all. So break that down for me.
So I'd probably say as a full-time senior qualified hairdresser working generally, it's 38 hours a week, give or take. I'd probably bring home, if I was lucky, 800, maybe 850 a week.
And how many years did you have to, I know it's an apprenticeship, right? How many years did you have to put into the craft to get there?
4.
Right. So what I'm trying to break down for you guys through this is Kayla's going to be giving the answers, and I'm going to try and break it down for you guys to see it. My brain works in a really simple way where it breaks things down. I'm going to help you break it down to understand why tough decisions, you know, initially make everything easier. So 4 years, you graduated school, but you started this as a school-based apprenticeship.
I still finished grade 12. I still wanted my certificate. But while I was in grade 11 and grade 12, every Saturday, I was going to the salon in Brisbane and just doing, yeah, one day a week, just to kind of get my foot in the door.
Right, so just a standard apprenticeship that all tradespeople and craftsmen do, and we get to a point where 4 years of that through multiple different salons gets you to a point where you'd make $800 a week for 36 hours of work.
38 hours
of work. Sorry, I'm not good at this, guys. If you followed me for long enough, you know I couldn't hold a job down to save myself, so I'm not real good at that. Then it got to a point where you're like, I want to buy my own salon. I say you're, like I wasn't a part of it. We got to a point where like, let's buy a hair salon, because I guess we probably had that initial mindset of we're going to make way more, right?
Yeah, well, weren't we wrong? Yeah. So my hours increased, as it kind of generally does when you kind of own and buy your own business. Nothing drastically, but I'd probably say like in salon on the floor, I'd be doing 41 to 45 hours a week. Keeping in mind pre-work, post-work, on your days off, you're always kind of still working. Like work, any business owner will say that. Work never stops when the business is not running. So I don't know roughly how many hours I'd work a week, but let's just say, yeah, a lot.
And this is for the business owners out there, right? Like I'm talking small. We're in the small business category here. If you're running a mega company and you're turning over huge figures, this doesn't sort of relate to you because it's a different. I'm just talking to a standard small business owner. We would probably turn over 380, 400 a year. Is that my own
part? Maybe let's go maybe more the 300.
Okay, so 300 to 350 a year. And that's with Kayla working full-time in the salon. We had multiple staff members. It was me behind the scenes running to the shops and buying the product and dropping the product off. And it was a ball of stress. And how much you increased your pay from 800 a week to what?
$1,000 a week.
Right. So we laugh at it now because at the time we thought it was the best thing in the world, but it also, like, you short yourself as a human. You know, you sort of get scared of taking risk on things, so you just short yourself and you accept something. And for us at the time, a $200 jump was holy shit, like, we're killing it here. What we didn't learn in the world of business is a thing called BAS. We ended up paying BAS probably 3x the amount we paid ourselves. And it just, over the course of 6 years, it constantly added up. We could never get ahead. You know, we would go on holidays, and while we're on a holiday in another country, Kayla would be sitting there checking, you know, appointments. Are people late? Are staff there on time? You know, you take this worry with you. And like, I wasn't involved in the salon in that manner, but it obviously affects you because you're at home, you're on holiday. I'm looking at Kayla and she's checking things and checking staff, and is someone late? And the whole thing, there's an old saying I learned many years ago: if you buy a small business, you never own it, it owns you. And I never understood that until we got out of it and realized how much of a relief it was by getting rid of it. So we may as well go into the story on this because, you know, a lot of people who follow us on social media, because we live in that perceptive world, it's very easy for people to be like, oh, it's all sunshine and rainbow for people on social media because you just see the good, you don't see the reality. So let's take them through the story of how we got out of the salon, because we got shat on. We didn't sell a business and walk out with a nice big fat check like we thought we were going to.
I think we've briefly touched on it on an earlier episode we've done. So I'll kind of skim through. We don't need to go into like the absolute detail, but we didn't have a very nice landlord, we could say that. Mm. And he wanted to up our rent by 50%, correct?
Just thereabouts.
Yeah, give or take about 50%. Don't quote me. And it just wasn't financially beneficial for us whatsoever. Like, we wouldn't have had any profit margin at the end of the week if we upped our rent by 50%.
It probably would have taken one of our incomes. Like, I only paid myself, you know, a half of what Kayla was getting paid as a full-time wage. I would have probably lost that wage entirely to recover the rent.
Yeah. So literally we were trying to fight it. Like, it got to a bit of an ugly stage where, like, we had lawyers and what else did we have? What was that lady called?
Oh, it's got a barrister?
No. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Got a little bit ugly, and long story short, thankfully in the end now, our landlord gave us, I think it was a 30-day notice or maybe a 6-week notice of an eviction. And I remember the morning I got that email sent to me, I was a hysterical mess.
Yeah, called me crying. What are we going
to do? No. I was at home getting ready to go to work in the bathroom.
Called me. No. Was I asleep?
No.
Or did you wake me?
No. Maybe, I don't know. It was a year ago now. But anyway, at that point in our lives, we were like, oh, fuck. What the fuck are we going to do now? Our business has been pretty much closed down. We can choose to relocate. Do we spend the money on fitting out another salon, finding a new location, and pretty much, like, we have our business and our clientele, but we'd be starting pretty much from scratch again. Correct me? Yeah?
Yeah. And look, I'll be full honest with you guys, since you guys listen, you know, we want to give you everything. We had over $100,000 in debt. Like, properly over a six-figure sum. Now, keep in mind, at this particular time, we had never seen a six-figure number in our bank account. So to have this number that you owe when you personally have never even felt what that number feels like, it was terrifying, right? So you're picturing everything that Kayla's worked for, boom, gone 30 days. You're looking at this figure that you have to now pay someone that you've never even paid yourself, boom, terrifying. How do I pay that? Have no money, right? So this is where the small business thing starts to take ownership of people. And I know I've got a lot of friends that have small businesses, and if you're listening to this, you'll understand. You wait for money, you owe money, you pay a lot of money out, and it gets to a point where, I guess, Kayla had dabbled into the, you know, some private adult stuff whilst owning the business. And I guess that was kind of a little snippet of, well, could we dive further into
it
that?
It was kind of like, just let's just put one toe in and see how we go.
And that was kind of comforting because we always had the salon to fall back on. And then it got to this point where it was like, we have a lot of money owing. We have no money coming in. What are we going to do? And I guess it was through fear of the unknown. I think this is where we can touch on a few of the money subjects as we get in, because this story is important, because a lot of people who are wanting to make a leap, you know, in, out, it's okay to be fearful because we weren't really committed to it. We weren't really excited by it. We'd known that it pays well in areas, but we'd never actually just gone for it. So we had no real idea. And we packed the salon out. How long do you think it took us before it was an emotional at the start when we realized it was gone. But I think it got to a point during that month or 6 week phase where we were losing it that we kind of became happy.
I think it was only a week after we got the notice that we decided that we were going to close our doors and not relocate just because financially, like I said, it wasn't worth it for us. But because we already did have a foot in the door with the adult industry, we were very thankful we had that to fall back on because I think if we hadn't dabbled into that and we were closing our business and both of us were losing our incomes, I think it would have been a lot of a different scenario.
Yeah, which is why it's very important to have your toe in multiple pies now. Like just because and I speak to some friends about this and they'll listen to this and know who they are. You can't always rely on the one source of income because things happen and you can't control it. You need to have multiple sources because you can always double down on one if something goes to shit. And so we're very fortunate, you know, a great staff member of ours who's still a close friend to Kayla, and she's a good friend to me as well. She actually was the one that introduced us. So you never know if we didn't have, whilst we look back on, and this is just that I'm one of those spiritual guys, if we never had the salon, which ended up becoming a problem for us, we'd never have found this industry, which is now a godsend to us. So sometimes you have to just hit this shitfall before you see the golden tunnel or whatever you want to call it. And so when you look back on perspective, if you're going through something right now that's not real fun or enjoyable, something will come out of that. And so if we never acquired the debt for the salon and we never employed this staff member, we'd never have learned the adult industry, we didn't even understand it. I didn't even know. I thought the word escort, I thought it was like when you read the newspaper, there'd be like a little section. And I just thought it was a crime. I didn't even know what it was. It was non-existent. I knew brothels existed and that was the furthest extent it ever got to me. Kayla wouldn't have had the fucking slightest idea of what anything was. This version that you guys see of her now wasn't the version who she was a few years ago. She was a little mouse. I couldn't even get her to freaking walk on a stage and take a simple photo, let alone be an entertainer. And so when you face a position that Kayla was put in where it's like, hey, your business is gone. You can either go to Centrelink and ask for some dole money, which both of us despise.
Or you can both go back and get a 9-to-5 job. Yeah. Fuck no.
As if I'm going to get – who's going to employ me? I'm the most unemployable fucking human on the world. And that's, but that, hey, another thing, if you're like me, when it's like, you don't, employment for me was never important. Now you've heard Kayla, she's the most hardworking, dedicated. That's why she's successful in this field because she works hard. Before she owned a salon, when she was, you know, employed by other people, I couldn't even get her to take a sick day, right? I broke the record for sick days and I wanted to go bowling or something on one Monday morning with Kayla. I'm like, calling sick. She almost broke down crying in bed with the fear of not wanting to call a boss to call in sick. It got to the point where I think, did I call and pretend I was your dad?
Or? I can't remember.
So I called and I was
still,
like, what
I'm
up?
Still
I'm
like
dad.
That now. Like yeah. Last year in June when I had my breast surgery, my surgeon was like, Kayla, you need to take 6 to 8 weeks off knowing what I do for work. I think I got to 4 weeks and my regular gentleman that I see who knew what I had done, I was like, I can't take any more days off. Like I'm going fucking crazy here. I need to get back to my routine again.
Yeah, but this is why we're a perfect dynamic because you've got one who looks for every reason under the sun to outsource and do minimum and one that wants to just be like, I'll not stop working. But you put those two dynamics together, you can create something, right? And through the clashes and all the trials and errors and things like that, it's not like it just works. You know, you see people talking or if you guys follow other couples, it's like everything's just beautiful. We just sit and breathe together. Like that's not us. It doesn't work like that for us. We throw fists at each other and I duck and weave
not
glass
literally.
Bottles
no,
that come
no, no,
my
no,
way.
No, not quite.
You've
literally.
You've thrown a candle at me once, like a big, I'm talking candle. If it hit me in the face, guys, I would have had another stroke, like violent over here. But like, that's the fun part of, that's just who we are. I'm not, if I sat down with Kyle, I was like, let's hold hands and stare in each other's eyes and breathe. We just start laughing at each other because it would be ridiculous to us. I know people that love doing that and that's okay. You've just got to find what works for you and find out how you can leverage that.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break. And if you're enjoying yourself, which I'm sure you are, locate that subscribe button because there is plenty more juice coming your way.
going on the financial side of things, through owning the salon, we never had a period where we really committed to the adult work to actually see how profitable it was. We had moments, and I think it was Christmas of 2 years ago, where you, and at this time it was massive money for us. It was, you know, maybe like had a $25,000 a month or something. I can't remember the exact number, but it was it was about a $25,000 a month, right? Which now is not like we aim for a lot more than that now, but at that time, a $25,000 a month in cash was like, oh, we're killing it. And so it was like, what are we going to do in this aspect? You know, we go straight, do all the right things, put it through a business, blah, blah, blah. What do we want to buy? And that was kind of the light of, well, what if we could double down on that? And so I guess, at what point did you, darling, get comfortable in accepting that that was a new reality?
The moment I got that email and we were like, fuck it.
Right. So for people listening, is you faced the fear.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, I don't think if we ever were kicked out of our business, our premises, I don't think we would be where we are today. Obviously, you can't speak for the future if it hasn't happened, but I just think if our landlord had never told us that our rent was going to increase by 50%, either you need to pay it or you need to get out. I don't think we would be here today doing this full time.
No. And sometimes you just, like, things happen in
they happen
in
for a reason.
Weird ways. And through the adult world, you know, we've been able to meet a lot of people that are very, very practical in our life that can be very beneficial and very helpful for us. And the most negative thing to happen to us in the entire year is, hey, your business that you've spent 6 years working on is gone. And the most positive thing from that was exactly what Kayla just said. It's like, well, now we better become good at this. We better become good fast. Fast forward to now. People who follow us on Instagram, a lot of people have only been following through this journey, right? So they only see what they see. They don't get to see what's been happening in the past. It was not long ago we actually did a comparison on what we had. Our best month now to date, we calculated it recently. What was it?
I'm not going to give figures because I don't feel like that's appropriate.
We can give them something to be excited about.
But let's just say our best month, if you listened before what I told you I was making a week in the salon, it would have taken me give or take about 80 weeks in the salon working 42 hours to make what we made in 1 month. Keeping in mind when I say we made that in 1 month, that's not me working 38, 42 hours a week. That was probably about 15, maybe 20 hours a week at that point to get to that number.
And so the reason we share this is absolutely nothing about finances. For us, it's the leverageability of what we can do in a shorter period of time to create what we want to create in a future. And so this one whole answer right now comes down, because a lot of questions we get on a very consistent basis is, how do you guys see it as a business only? How do you let XYZ happen and all it is just a business?
No, the question we get all the time is, how does Jackson allow you to do what you do? Jackson doesn't allow me to do what I do. I can choose to do what I do. We do this.
Jackson supports.
That's the very key word. Jackson supports, but we choose to do this together because we leverage time. It's so much more important to us than money. Like work, like I said, working 42 hours a week in the salon, plus before work, after work, days off, on holidays, it never stops, to now scale that back to be working give or take about 10 hours a week is what we give or take do now, maybe 15.
Yeah,
earning tenfold more than what we ever did before.
And for us, it comes back to that leverageability, guys. It's like if you want certain things in your future, you need certain things in order to create certain things. And so for us, this isn't an everyday thing. I said it on an episode earlier, this is a window based business, and any girl who knows this and listens to this, you'll understand. Women, you have a window where you can dominate it, and then your window, you know, you phase out and other windows take it over. And so for us, it was like, can we just capitalize on this window? While we're in the window, we have multiple other pies brewing so we can replace things, leverage things, double down on things. And I think that's the most important thing is this. I support Kayla doing what a lot of men couldn't support their partner doing. And there's no right or wrong answer to that. It really just comes down to what you can physically withstand mentally. And I guess it's easy for me and a few of my mates that are in this profession with their partner to I think nothing of it. There's never a time where Kayla's at a client's house where I'm like going crazy or insane or whatever. And when we're shooting, you know, content and scenes, it's together, it's away from each other. It's not, it's the emotion for me is in the result of the product or in the result of the booking, the time that we give to people. The result in that allows us to then go and go, what's our future look like? One thing we couldn't do in the salon, and small business owners who listen to this, you'll understand, you can't really foresee too much of a future. When you have the most our business account ever got to in the salon, I shit you not, you're going to laugh at this because we had this for 6 years. It never got over, I don't think, $10,000. Maybe once if like a BAS or something came back in.
No. I think when we got like a lump sum of JobKeeper, which wasn't technically
right, so
our
COVID
money.
COVID help. Yeah.
I think that was the only time it got up to maybe 20.
Right. So with our own time in the salon, me running around like crazy, Kayla working in there like crazy, we could never get the account more than $10,000 before things would drain out. That is something we didn't have any idea coming into the world of standard business. That was ludicrous to us. And so while this is so important, is it's understanding that when you have experiences like that, it makes it very easy to adapt and accept other experiences when it, because the easy math is right. Would you rather the thought process of, oh my God, Kayla's seeing a client, or the thought process of Kayla's in the salon working 40 hours, I don't get to see her for, you know, the entire week, versus I don't get to see her for the entire week, your bank account goes up a little bit. I see her in 1 hour, the bank account goes up a lot. Granted that when I see her for less than the hour, there's more to deal with, but that was a pain that was much easier for me to deal with than the pain of what we were doing previously. And it just comes down to what you want to withstand as a person. And for us, it's simple understanding for you guys to try and understand. It's if you can just understand the acceptance of a few little things and cross that road with your brain, the rest of the world opens up. Right? And now we're in talks about, I guess, your stress level, right? What's the difference in how many appointments a week do you have? Well, the ladies will love this, right? Because it's they want to relate.
Our accountant loves this.
But like the point is you'd pamper yourself. You'd have something on every single day, almost.
No, not quite.
Some days,
At least every week, definitely, I'd be doing something. But keeping in mind, like in certain industries that you're in, like your appearance or your body is your business. Mm. And obviously, being in the adult industry, both of our appearance and our body, everything that you look at us is, it's our business. Like if you don't look after yourself, I guess it's not, your business is not going to do as well in one way or another.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that comes down to money makes money.
But as for your stress question, very little, very, very little stress.
Let's have some fun with this one. What's the hardest thing about your current lifestyle job? This is where it's crazy, right? Because people, like, there's not really an answer to it.
Probably having to drive to Brisbane to see someone because it takes me 50 minutes.
Right. That's what we call stress.
That sounds so bad though.
No, but then, all right, well, let's go back. What's the hardest thing about the salon? I mean, you could rattle off 1,000 things. Looking at the bank account, there
potentially
was weeks,
not enough to pay myself or my staff on
there was
some
weeks. I had to pay some of our staff. This is in the early year or two. I remember I was in Perth with a friend of mine and Kayla was calling me and I was a little bit late to paying the girls at the hours I was supposed to. And there was not money in the business account didn't have the money in there. I had to pay from my personal account to our girls and then reimburse myself when the account, because settlement for the business was about 5 p.m. or 4 p.m.
6
p.m. There you go, every single afternoon. So that's when the money would come in. And so that's real fear. When you've got girls busting their ass for you and some of these girls are apprentices and I couldn't pay them because the business wasn't generating. That's real fear and real stress. And so when you compare that to, oh my God, I've got to drive 45 minutes. This is just to answer your questions, guys, on the simplicity of you can remove a lot more pain from your life if you're willing to accept a little bit of different pain. I wouldn't even call it pain. If you're willing to just, actually, I'll share this. David Wood, fantastic guy. David T.S. Wood, follow him on Instagram. Probably the single guy that helped change my entire mindset perspective and probably did a lot for Kayla as well. I spent a lot of time with this guy. He taught me this thing. I'm going to teach you two bits of wisdom here before we let you go. One is called no story, no problem.
I was going to say that.
Oh, So what I mean by no story, no problem is we create the problem. And I was sitting there in this event and he's on stage and we're sitting there and he says he was driving in his car and he got hit by a guy. So a guy crashed into him, spun the car out, wrote the car off. No one was hurt. His two kids are in the back seat. He gets out, he goes over. The truck driver that crashed into him is going, sorry, I dropped my cigarette on the floor. He bent down to pick his cigarette up. By the time he looked up, he crashed in his car. Now the event was he had the car crash. The story is what we get to decide. So no story, no problem. Meaning if you sat there and at this time when I was very underdeveloped in my mind, I'm like, I would have fucking killed the guy if my kids were in the car. Like, I was anger. But the reality was no one was hurt. And so he created the story of, hey, you fucked up, your insurance can pay for it, no one's hurt, no problem, versus creating the problem. So if you create a story, you create the problem that comes with that story. No story, no problem. The second thing I wanted to share, which I've just gone totally blank on, you will have to find another episode because I've gone totally blank. But I think that's the best part. Ah, the comfort zone. So there's this picture, this whiteboard. Now, if you're watching the YouTube, you can watch my emotions. If you're listening to this, draw a little square. In the top left-hand corner, I want you to just draw everything negative in your situation. Oh, my wife's with another guy. Oh, this. Oh, that. Oh, this. And it's just this black circle, right? Tiny little circle on the top left corner. The few things that can go bad that your brain can create. On the rest of the page, write everything good. Financial freedom, choice, buy this, buy that, shopping, happiness, time freedom, all these beautiful things. Now, whilst there's this massive sheet of paper and this black little thing on the top left corner, all these other things are beautifully down here and all you're doing is got your forehead stuck on that top left corner. This is how our brains are all programmed. And when we shift a little bit out of something, it's called breaking the comfort zone. And when we're comfortable, nothing happens. You don't make money, you get old, you die, it's boring relationships, boring everything. If you push the uncomfort zone, everything starts to happen. You have to face a few little buttons. You have to face some things that are weird and going to test you. But what's on the other side of that is a whole other ball game. So everything you just heard from Kayla, the salon was a comfort zone for Kayla, right? Working and cutting people's hair and trading all this time for money was a comfort zone for Kayla. What we did here when she, I was like, hey, babe, line up your first shoot. This is what you're doing. Get good with camera work because you're an actor. You were petrified. Your first shoot, you nailed it. But the fear of your first shoot was horrible. And so what I'm trying to help you guys understand is it's okay being terrified. It's okay being shit at something. But if it's going to push that uncomfort zone into an area that could potentially open up doors for a life, for all these conversations that Kayla and I have now, we're sitting at lunch today and I said, I might get a jet ski down or something. And she's like, you can have a jet ski if I can have a C63. Like it's a laughing matter, but the simple conversations of, you could do those things and make them happen versus when we're in the salon, it was like the most expansive thing we did was like save all of our money to go to Thailand or whatever our first holiday was. And we spent everything and we came back and it was literally zero. And so how we used to live is not very uncommon. A lot of people live the exact same manner. And there's nothing wrong with that if you're happy. But if you're after something a little bit better, something a little bit different, if you follow Carl on social media, you're very much aware that she likes expensive shit. So if you have a wife or a partner that likes expensive shit, I could sell her shoe collection and buy her a fucking car, right? Like, that's funny because now she earns it in a different manner. The very first bag I bought you, was it a Prada?
Yeah.
There's this Prada handbag. I don't know how old you were, early 20s.
Yeah, early 20s.
We were young and she's like, this is back... The Prada store in Surface, like it was an isolated store. I had never heard of these brands before. I'm middle of my bankruptcy term. If you were early 20s, I'd have been bankrupt for about 2 or 3 years at this point. So I'm a bum, right? Driving a little shitty, beat up hatchback car. And Kayla's like, I want this Prada handbag. I had less than $200 in my bank account, pretty much my entire early 20s. I was like, no fucking way. So I went and took a loan. Right? Because, you know, this is what you do for your loved one. I literally went and took a loan. And this, okay, it's a lot of money. I guess I'm comparing it to some of the shit you got now. But like it was about $2,500 or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Like $2,000, $2,500, right? Which at the early 20s of our life, that was ridiculous money for me. I had never seen money like that. And I walked in, I took a loan. I was like a fish out of water. I had no idea what was going on. They put gloves on my hands so I could touch this leather thing. It was stupid to me. It didn't make any sense. But the value it gave Kayla, it instantly, changed her perspective. And you need to treat yourself those things, because if you never got that bag, do you think your brand fantasy, like, did that bag change things for you a little bit, I reckon?
It did. And, like, people would say, but it's just a bag. But back then it was so much more than just a bag to me.
Yeah, well, we've all got those things, it is. And still to this day, you still get the same excitement, right? Like, you'll still walk into a store and you'll find one pair of shoes or something here or a bag there, and it's that same level of excitement.
Yep, definitely wasn't when we went to Singapore last month.
Yeah, not for me. But what I'm trying to say to you guys is, like, now we're just kind of rambling from a fun perspective, but that's what I want you to hear. Because you listen to the tonage of Kayla's voice when she was talking about when the salon kicked her out, and listen to her giggling now talking about going on shopping sprees and things. There's a very fine line between you can live, like, on Struggle Street and you can live fantastically, and the line in the middle isn't really that hard to cross. Sometimes you got to be pushed. Sometimes you got to just jump and shut your eyes and hope you land on your feet. But the line is really, really close. We're not any different to who we were when we owned the salon, are we?
Like, no, I don't think we've changed at all. I've definitely, like, gained more confidence.
You have.
But as humans and as a couple, I don't think we've changed at all.
If anything, it's done wonders for us, because
just made us happier.
When did we see each other? When you owned the salon, right? And this is where a lot of people, and we don't have kids, so we're very fortunate, because if we had kids when the salon was around, you know, I'd have been a stay-at-home dad and Kayla would have seen the baby an hour a day. Like, because you would come home from work, you would go to class, you'd get home probably, what, 6:30, 7?
No, I'd be doing generally a 6:15 class at gym, right. So I'd be home by 7:30 generally.
Right. So you shower, you eat dinner, it's 8:30, we watch a movie because you had to be back up at, what, 7 the next day?
Yep.
Right. And we created that for ourselves by making the decisions we made, by buying into a business because we didn't know any different. We thought it was the right thing. You know, whilst we have amazing families, none of our families are entrepreneurial in a sense of none of our families had owned businesses and companies and trusts and any of this stuff. So we didn't grow up knowing any of this, right? We grew up with support and love and all the right things that matter. But our business knowledge and our money knowledge was very small in a sense of how to take care of things. So we thought we were doing the right thing, you know, as much as we knew, but it compoundedly got worse.
So we nearly finished this episode. And just like you, I don't want our time together to come to an end. But the good news is, it doesn't have to. Because if you think I'm uncensored here, imagine what I get up to on my OnlyFans. Hit the link below and I will see you in there. Have fun.
And so if you're in a situation where things are compoundingly getting worse and you're sitting here, and we can use this as an example actually, Kaylee. I don't know if you want to get your phone up or not. We won't name names or anything, but this is a question that was posed to us. You want to get your phone out and we can read it? Because shout out to you guys that, you know, reach out on social media and ask certain questions, because I know it's difficult to ask certain questions. You just enjoy listening, but you can pass to me. So we had a girl reach out and asked, where am I looking? Staying from where? So someone used to be inside the adult industry and have gone back to working a normal job. And I guess the consensus is when you get a little taste of a certain amount of money and then you go back to normality and you want to come back. And I'm judging by her question, it was because of a guy. So women, if you're inside the industry, you don't sacrifice anything for a man. I always told Kayla, if you got good at this and I became fearful, you keep going because you've worked to a point where you do this. And I would like to think most of the men are accepting. And if you're a girl and you do this and you make good money, don't give this up early. Have the conversation with the guy, because we can't speak from experience of going from this back to a normal income. I haven't had normal income since 2016. You know, you've had now 12 months of experiencing your own income journey, I guess, and you have months now that, you know, equate to a year and a half of you working in the other business. And so I think the only message I want to leave you with is really put the value of what you want projected in the future ahead of anything that happens right now, ahead of any fear, ahead of anyone's judgment. What do you want to add on that to see me out?
But, like, not just from the adult industry perspective, but just from any kind of career venture perspective. Like, even though we're coming from I guess, what we do now and what we did, it doesn't have to be around the adult industry. It could be any type of career that you want to step out and make a really good income in, but you're too fearful.
Yeah, yeah. We're just talking about making a jump. What you jump to is entirely up to you. This is just what we jump to. So we're only speaking on the experience of that. I think it's just, if you're going through shit, try and find the good. It's very easy to play the violin. We probably played it. You would have definitely played it for the first few weeks when the salon got taken off you, right? The poor me, oh my God, how could they? And, you know, this landlord, what a dick, how does he do that to us? Now if I walk past him, I'd buy him a beer.
I'd thank him.
Yeah. He was the light we needed from a dark place. And I think you need to open your eyes more. And if you're in a dark place, look for your light, because something has put you in that dark place for you to grow out of, mm-hmm. right? You got to find what that is. You got to be grateful for it. Don't play the violin. No one's going to save you. No one cares. Find your way out of it and be positive, be happy, because good things will just come if you take a bit of risk.
It's very true. Couldn't say it better myself.
All right, darling. I reckon we wrap that up. Where can people find us?
So make sure you click subscribe, review, and like our stuff on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Music, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. Facebook. We're everywhere.
You'll find us.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Uncensored Podcast. Thanks, guys.